Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. What was it like to be married to bomber Mark Hoffman? Dori Olds tells her experiences. Was there deception involved? She actually says it was like being gaslighted. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. I also want to remind you, if you'd like a transcript of this, please subscribe to our website at gospeltangents.com. Just click the yellow subscribe button. I want to remind everybody, we've got our latest transcript out with Nancy Ross and Sarah Hanks, and I've just sent those out. So if you'd like a copy of this one, please subscribe. For $15, I'll send you a paperback copy like that, or for $10, I'll give you a PDF copy. Now back to our conversation.
What was it like to be married to Mark? I mean, what can you tell us about that?
It was very confusing, I would say, one. And I think it's now I have more understanding. And the name they call it is gaslighting. Have you heard of that term, gaslighting? From the movie Gaslight?
Go ahead and explain it.
Gaslighting is where, in the movie Gaslight with Ingrid Bergman, and I can't remember, Charles Boyer maybe might have been the, where he, Charles Boyer had a plan, he'd murdered Ingrid Bergman's aunt, the character that she played, and then, he was after some jewels, and so he courted this woman purposely with an agenda, and then he kept doing things to make her think she was crazy, to make her think that she wasn't seeing things straight, to really confuse her. And that's what I feel like was happening with me, with Mark, is that on the surface, it looked like a certain things were happening, but underneath it was like that I was definitely being played with, and I wasn't conscious enough initially to know, it's like, what is wrong with me? What's going on? Why aren't I remembering correctly? Why aren't I? I made it about me and not that he was doing something to me. Mm-hmm. I remember the first year of life was just like horrendous. I remember just being really, really hard. And you have two families that join together and in some ways the culture was the same because he came from a family, he was an LDS family that had been multiple generations back. And so similar story, similar, it's like you marry someone of the same culture. There's some similar stories on one hand, and then through his mother, and then through his father, his father was Germanic, I don't know, it was Switzerland, German. They came through over in that before World War II, they came over. And so they had that story. But in the apparently with the German culture, there's a very strict strict culture with how you are with your parents. And so when we'd say, okay, let's go buy something, my family it was, well, you just go buy it. You tell your family, I bought this, or we bought a table, or we bought furniture, or you bought something. But his family, apparently you needed to ask permission. So we'd go buy something, and then his parents would get upset because we didn't discuss it with them first before you bought this. You have to supposed to discuss it with the parents first. That's the culture. That was what they did. And then he would tell his parents, Dori made me do it. And I didn't know this was happening. And then I would tell something. I would say, well, his parents would say, well, how about this and this? And I would tell something. And then later we'd be by ourselves, and he'd get really angry. I'd be really in trouble. He'd be yelling at me. And then it's like, well, what did I do? I just told the truth. Well, that was the problem. Because, see, he told his parents. He was already telling he was telling other people different stories. And then I would come in. I wouldn't be prepped. I wouldn't be told, this is the story I've told, because I don't want to tell the truth of what we did. I want to make it your fault, which is what he was doing the whole time. And so I would tell something, and I wouldn't be believed, or I'd be, it's like, I was living in this double world. Like, what is going on here? Like being in Alice in Wonderland. What's going on? I'm telling the truth. I just told my story. Why is it that I'm in trouble? Why is it that people are mad at me? Why is it that it's like, there was this whole thing going on that it's like, what is happening? So that was, I think a year after I was married, I think I got more used to it. But not totally understanding it. It wasn't until later, it's like, no wonder I felt crazy. Because I felt crazy. Mm-hmm. What being told these things. And I would be, people would call on the phone and they'd yell at me, well, is Mark there? No. Well, no, 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 no. And I'd get the brunt of all this anger because they're mad at him. And then I'd say, well, you need to call this person. because they're mad. Oh, no, they're not mad at me. They were fine. And it's like, wait a minute. They were mad with me. Why are they fine with you? Well, they weren't fine with him. But he was, see, this is that bullshit. The bullshit meter. It's like, where is that? That's where I am about my life. It's like, what is really going on here? Because there were so many things going on that I had to sort through that I really had to learn to trust myself. And a lot of that early years, I didn't trust myself. So I had to just say, well, I guess I was mistaken. I guess that didn't happen. I guess, but dissing myself. So he was dissing me, his family was dissing me, and I was dissing me. And so that is the experience I had living with Mark, is that what really was going on. And we'd have, I mean, there's some, and I went to like coping mechanisms with it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I could have, when you're in an abusive situation, people say, well, you could have left. Well, if one, you don't know exactly what's happening. And two, if you don't have yourself, you can't leave. And so, no, I couldn't really have left that. I wasn't totally aware. I was more in this fog of wondering what in the heck is happening all the time. What's happening? And we'd have people come over and talk about documents, and which I liked. I mean, there were things that I really liked. There were parts of that that I really thought were really good. And but I feel like in a way that I lived a life of forgery. I remember going camping and boating with this family in the beginning when we were first dating and married. And excited about we're gonna go boating, we're gonna go camping, we're gonna do this and that. After we're married, do we go camping? No, he doesn't like camping. And it's like, well, so that dream is gone. You know, so there's dreams that I brought in that were like crushed. Because I had different ideas of what was happening. And so I had a lot of disappointments with my dreams, quote dreams, whether they were fantasies or reality or what, but feeling disappointed with what it's like my life actually was. There was a big stress financially. And I tell you, and I'll share one story of what shows how this would happen is sitting down and saying, okay, how much money is in the bank? We got to pay some bills. How much money is in the bank? Going through what's in the account, going through the bills we need to pay, sitting down and paying the bills, writing out the bills with the checks, sitting with him there. He's there taking with this process. Then mailing them in the bank. I mean, mailing the letter. So all the bills just left. They're all gone. They're just got, and they're in the mail. And telling Mark, okay, we're going to keep this money in the bank, right? This money's in the bank. We need to keep this much in the bank. This is how much we just paid checks for. This is how much in the bank. Hour later, he gets a phone call. Somebody has something to sell or something he's got to pull money out of the bank. So out of the bank, all the money just gets pulled out. No thought whatsoever about what just got mailed. And of course, then all those checks bounce because the money's not in the bank. And then all the checks have a fee that's added to it. That was normal. There's constantly trying to figure out. People say, well, look how much money was coming in. It wasn't my experience of having a lot of money. Wasn't my experience. It was always, are we get covered? Are we getting our bills getting paid? What got paid? What didn't get paid? And having this dance with him in what is actually clearing the bank. Because even though we'd had that discussion, even though I said, okay, we need to keep this amount in, those are nail mailed, because this happened a lot, out the money goes. And so it was constantly trying to get these bills getting paid. There was no financial security in knowing that everything is getting paid every month. I don't even know how, sometimes I look back, how did we even get through that? I don't even know. Because that was very common. That was a common occurrence to have that happen. But he got excited about something and then the money goes in, and it isn't accurate, but it was my belief. So I came in with the enculturation of the priesthood, the man special. The priesthood means something that the woman needs to do what the man says. He had the control of it's like I didn't have a say about the money. I didn't have a say about the account. I could have had that be different, again, if I'd had myself, if I didn't have all those belief systems, if I didn't have that enculturation. But that was where I was. So it was like I didn't feel like I had control. I didn't feel like I had a say. I didn't feel like I could do anything. Yeah. And I think I felt powerless. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I was. I felt powerless. Mm-hmm.
Now, you had mentioned a little bit earlier about that this was kind of an abusive relationship. Was this physical or mostly mental?
Mental. It was mostly mental.
Mostly mental.
Yeah. He wasn't physically.
Okay.
No.
Okay. So.
Mentally, emotional, I would say.
But yeah. As you look back on it now, you can see how he was constantly manipulating you and gaslighting is what he was talking about.
Yeah.
So.
And again, if you were, it's like, that doesn't happen. You have to be in a certain way to have that happen. You know, it's like, I was like the perfect storm. I was the perfect person because of where I was that to allow that to happen. Because if you're in a different state, then you have yourself. That doesn't, you don't let that happen. I'll put it that way.
So he was deceiving you as well as deceiving everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
And, Where was it that you kind of figured out and said, man, this isn't the man that I thought I married?
Well, I don't know what year it was. I get confused with the years. But I had a realization probably, it was probably in the mid-80s, not 85, before that, like between 80, like maybe around 83, 84, that I realized I wasn't happy.
Okay.
That I realized I wasn't happy. This wasn't working for me. I didn't really know what to do about that. And I remember talking to him about getting a divorce.
Oh, really?
And he just flipped out. I remember him being so upset. So mad. I'm so upset and so mad. And I was like, I want a divorce. I said, I'm not happy. This isn't working for me. And so we had a little argument. And then I remember being by myself. He was gone somewhere, and I was by myself. And I remember hearing the words in my head, inside of myself, just wait, just wait, just wait. And so I had that feeling, and so I never mentioned it. And it was, the feeling was to just wait, because I had, that's the words I was hearing. And so I did not mention it. I never mentioned it again. We never had another fight about that. I think he thought maybe I was upset and mad and got over it, because I never talked with him about it again. But I knew inside myself, this wasn't working for me. I had to do something. But I kept hearing those words inside me, just wait, just wait, just wait. And I trusted that. I trusted that. And looking back, if I believe personally, now what, if I had fought for divorce, if I had tried to have a divorce, I think that he would have taken the kids. I think he would have run somewhere. I don't think I wouldn't have seen them again. I think so. He would have done something. I wouldn't have had any money. I wouldn't have, you know, I think that something would have happened. As it happened, I ended up waiting, and that's a whole nother story, but waiting after he went to prison. And actually wait in another year and a half. I was told, or I'm not sure exactly. I have to look at the dates, because I get mistaken sometimes with the dates. But waiting for a while, and I had a woman who came in my life. This is where I look at miracles, how many miracles we have in our lives, and walking in miracles, expecting miracles, knowing that God, Holy Ghost, Spirit, whatever, angels, whatever you want to say, are on our side. They're on our side. Because I kept hearing this, just wait, just wait. And when I actually got divorced, I had a 5-minute divorce. I went into the courthouse and told them the name and why. And they said, you don't need to tell me why. Because it's like, never mind. It was 5 minutes. I had a 5-minute divorce. Here's your custody of your kids. No questions asked. Bye. So it's 5 minutes. And I got full custody. I got everything, you know. And if I would have gone through that with him before he was in prison, I think it would have been horrible. And I don't think I think he would have run with the kids and I wouldn't have seen him. That's what I think. So I was told, just wait, just wait, just wait. And because I waited, it allowed the whole thing to play out. And I, now let's see how to explain this. Each one of us are dearly loved. Each one of us. And that's part of what, like being part of religion, being part of a church, to help us know that, being part of praying, learning how to pray, learning how to connect with that Holy Ghost, to know that for ourselves. Each one of us is dearly loved. And as we trust that source inside of us, we trust that message, we can have what really needs to happen to us. And even when horrendous things happen, they can have a good end. Is that making sense? Mm-hmm. And I, when I was, this, I've had so many interesting experiences because when I, the night before I got married, now I'm seeing Mark, he's got a, he's a returning missionary, his family's LDS. I could see some things that were going on with him that, okay, I don't know how that's going to work, but some patterns and stuff that he had. But he's a good person. You know, he's just a good person. He's attending church. He's a good person. The night before I get married, I hear this voice in my, I'm laying in bed, in my bedroom, by myself, and this voice says to me, you don't have to do this. And I'm like, okay, what? Who is this? What don't I have to do? Why don't I have to do this? What are you talking about? And the feeling kept going, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. And I said, okay, so what am I doing? I am getting married. So I went through my mind of, if I don't get married, okay, I'll have people upset. I'm getting married in the morning. We've got a reception. We've got, you know, it's not going to be pretty to do this, but I could cancel and I could not get married. How does that feel? And I had that feeling inside. How does that feel? And it didn't feel good. It felt like, no, that's not the right choice for me. Then I went and I went, okay, now I'm going to go through and get married. We're going to go through everything tomorrow. And that felt good to me. So I said, okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but I have to do this because the feel, it's more energy towards doing it than it isn't not doing. Does that make sense? So I had to go through this whole, because I don't know.
You were torn.
Mm-hmm. So who is it? So who's telling me this? But it felt to me like there was more energy to just do it. And so I was like, okay, you know what? I'm doing this. I'm taking a risk, even though I don't have to, because that's the truth. I don't have to. I don't know who you are or what you're, why you're telling me this, but I'm going to go ahead and do this. But it's interesting that there was somebody that knew what, how hard it was going to be for me and was saying, you don't have to do this. But on the other hand, my going through that, my facing, my being gaslighted, my being, having my meters, where am I not trusting myself? Where am I trusting myself? What's really going on here? Has helped me to be where I am today, where I have myself today. And it isn't that I don't need to do more work because that's there, but I have myself. I can trust myself now. And that process that all went through helped me to have me. So was it a bad thing that that all happened? No. Was it horrendous? Did people die? Yes. And did it affect many, many people? Each person has to go and say, how did this change my life? What did I learn? What did I learn from this? Now, what my experience with Mark to this point, I don't know that he learned anything, which I'm sorry to say, but I don't know. He doesn't seem to have learned anything to me, but I have learned a lot. You know, it changed my life.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's a lot of lives that got changed.
You know, but for the better.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dory Olds. In our next conversation, I'll ask her if she regretted marrying Mark Hoffman.
No.
No?
No. I don't regret it.
So you're...
I think I made the right choice, and the energy was there for me to go through with it.
I hope you enjoyed that short clip from our next interview. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please go to our patreon.com/gospeltangents and subscribe for just $5 a month. If you'd like a transcript of this, please click the yellow subscribe button at gospeltangents.com, and I'll send you this and all future transcripts. Also, if you'd like a paperback like we've got here, those are available at our website at amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents. Please get all updates at our Facebook page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. We're also on Twitter at Gospel Tangents. You can also get transcripts individually at our website, gospeltangents.com/shop. Finally, make sure that you subscribe on our Apple Podcast page. Just do a quick search for Gospel Tangents there and give us a 5-star review while you're at it. Thanks again for listening. Your support helps create more Mormon history classes and podcasts such as this, and so I really appreciate you listening. Please share with your friends. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some more of our great videos. Thanks again.